And you're on the phone with Bob Cleaves, President and CEO of Biomass Power Association.
Hi, Bob. How's it going? Welcome to Biomass Energy Journal's podcast.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
So, Bob, there's a lot going on this summer. Where do you want to start?
How about if I talk about my vacation? No, I'm kidding. there is a lot going on. We are very active with EPA talking about Boiler Mac rules and interacting with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts on issues regarding carbon footprint, all the while fighting for a federal renewable energy standard and hoping that Congress extends expiring tax provisions that have been so important to our industry.
Yeah. I was just doing a presentation, which I'm going to be uploading later on the ManaMet report, and I found some flaws in their accounting practices, and I'm sure you've probably come across some of the same things. But what was also interesting about the report, you know, with the carbon debts and the carbon dividends, is they're actually saying there that using biomass is beneficial, and buried back on page 109, 110, there was a couple of favorable quotes in there. And I think as the industry, we need to seize on that and really point out that biomass, when it's, you know, whether it's slash and it's, you know, carbon, you know, paying carbon dividends in a few years, or it's whole trees and paying it in decades, it is paying dividends. It is pulling carbon, you know, greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere, and it's the best tool to do it. And I think we really need to revisit that report and let people know that. I know the headlines were, you know, worse than coal, but they didn't account for the biomass decay and the greenhouse gases released from decay, and that's why those numbers were able to be the way they were.
Yeah, and we agree. The problem with ManaMet is really twofold. One, we do take issue with the accounting principles deployed in the study, I think more importantly is the fact that it's a study about a feedstock, if you will, namely harvesting entire forests for the production of energy that really isn't happening today, isn't likely to happen in the near future. So, you know, the unfortunate thing about ManaMet was it was mischaracterized by not only by the press but also by Massachusetts state officials who appear to have reached this kind of foregone conclusion that biomass is not a form of renewable energy that they believe has a lot of potential for their state. That's an unfortunate conclusion. It's not based on any science. We think it's got a lot to do with politics, and we think it's inappropriate for them to have come to that conclusion.
So regarding the tailoring rule and kind of the first crack in the carbon neutrality of biomass, obviously this isn't, you know, affecting everyone in the industry, but it's that first step that scares people, even like me, when I'm not, you know, doing stuff with the publishing. I build gasifiers, and I've, you know, built my business in this industry, and I want to know that I'm going to put the next 20 years into something that's going to, you know, pay a dividend for my family and for the environment. And frankly, seeing the tailing rule, it worries me stiff. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the problem with the tailing rule is that EPA we're optimistic that EPA is going to arrive at the right answer, but by posing the question about whether or to what extent biomass is carbon friendly, or at least inviting discussion about that, they've really placed a tremendous amount of regulatory uncertainty that unfortunately is causing projects to be slowed down, and it gives investors concern, it gives developers concern, and we think that while clearly all biomass is not created equal when it comes to an analysis of carbon impact, the kind of biomass that we are talking about undeniably and almost universally is understood to be carbon of benefit from a carbon standpoint. So we will be very involved in that process. That process is not going to EPA is not going to arrive at that conclusion overnight. They're going to reach out to a lot of different stakeholder groups, including ours. I think they're going to arrive at the right answer, but they're going to take a long time to get there.
That's unfortunate. I hope they do get to that good place, because it seems to me, after reading the ManaMet report, there's there's a line between biogenic carbon that's in the active, you know, cycle with the trees in the atmosphere and fossil carbon. And what they're doing is they're focusing their measurements solely in the atmosphere where the CO2 is, not regarding whether it's biogenic or fossil carbon that they're measuring, and then also taking measurements and doing science from the stack only and not accounting for, you know, the natural degradation and release of carbon and methane back into the atmosphere that happens with all biomass. And we need a way to get that proper accounting in place so we can really convey the true value of what biomass offers.
I agree. And we're working hard on that. We were part of a stakeholder group earlier this year that was convened by the Environmental Defense Fund that I think made some progress. It was a, you know, science-based approach that kind of people kind of checked their political agendas at the door, so to speak, and really took a look at the science. And frankly, I think that academicians can debate whether or not the atmosphere knows the difference between biogenic emissions and fossil emissions. I think, you know, it's almost like, you know, our reaction is, well, you know, that's an interesting discussion if you're a forestry major getting your PhD. But if you're out there developing a facility that uses residuals or byproducts of agriculture or forests, we think it's kind of a silly debate, to be honest with you.
But the point is that all the additional carbon in the atmosphere that we have is from basically fossil sources. It's not from biogenic sources. And when a report like the Manomet report says, you know, it's better to put natural gas emissions into the atmosphere rather than burning biomass, then it's more of the same. It's more of what got us into this point where we're just pumping up fossil, whereas if we can almost, you know, eliminate our fossil and just stay within a biogenic footprint and use biomass to make our fuels and use it to make our heat and power, that solves a lot of the problem there. And then healthy young forests will do a lot to sink the carbon. So I hear your point. I don't think it's purely purely an academic pursuit.
Yeah, well, I think here is ultimately the analysis that I want everyone to focus on. We have a hard enough time building these projects and getting power purchase agreements and actually getting these projects up and going. The last thing that we need as an industry is to spend months and even years involved in a regulatory discussion on a feedstock that essentially is not being used. So let's look at the industry as it exists today, and that industry is 100% byproducts and residuals, 100%. Yep. I mean, people are not harvesting entire forests to produce energy. There's a very small vocal minority that wants to say that we're going out and harvesting whole trees. Well, if those whole trees are being part of a thinning operation for a healthy forester initiative or sustainable cultivation of forests for wood products or paper, then that is exactly the kind of biomass that many scientists, most scientists, believe is an appropriate thing for this country to be doing. And so let's focus on what is realistically being done by this industry right now, and let's analyze the carbon footprint of that industry. And there's just no debate that it's beneficial from a climate standpoint. I'm hoping EPA gets to that conclusion sooner rather than later, because to your point earlier, it is having a chilling effect.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Cool. Yeah. And if we could really tell the story in the industry about what would happen if biomass energy wasn't here, you know, if people saw piles of slash or, you know, sewer sludge, you know, where does it go? You know, what our biomass power producers do is provide a waste service, a waste processing, waste to energy in a sense. And it's very valuable for our society regardless, just to have a clean stream to get rid of our waste. And making energy from it is just a huge benefit that we don't want to see go away.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And that's why it's been around for, going on three decades.
Yeah. So how do we get the message out better? I've been going out and doing interviews. I interviewed Kurt Schrader. He was one of the 63 congressmen who signed the letter to the EPA. I've been, you know, trying to get some faces out there and some visual stuff. We don't have sexy solar panels or big, tall wind turbines. We need a picture of our industry that the public can grasp onto and say, I like that. I want to be a part of that. What do you think that image is that we're lacking?
Well, I think you put your finger on it. I think it's an image problem as opposed to a substantive, do we really want this form of energy? I think most people would say that this is something that we should be promoting. I think that, in an era where, we've got double digit unemployment and a threat of a double dip recession, I think that this continues to be all about jobs. I think the more we can portray this industry as what it is, which is a job creating sector of the renewable energy industry that provides meaningful employment in rural America, I think that really resonates. Yeah. And it's a bipartisan view. I mean, Senator Kit Bond from Missouri, someone who I had never thought was a promoter of or knew much about the biomass industry, I see where he is encouraging the state of Missouri to embrace this form of renewable energy. I mean, so it's not just in the Northeast, it's not just in California, it's also in the middle of the country. So and it's farmers and it's wood producers and it's loggers and so it touches a lot of different sectors of the economy, and I think that there are a lot of natural allies, whether it's labor, whether it's organized labor, whether it's environmental organizations that understand the value of what we're doing. I think it's good. It's a very large undertaking. It's certainly not. It can't be done by one trade association or one group of companies. Yeah. It's going to involve a very broad-based approach.
Yeah, it's all of us coming together, and I think using the new media and the social media is a good way to get that image out. And I think you're right. Jobs is the message we want to have out there. I think part of the image problem too is a lot of these biomass projects, they're in rural America, which tends to lean more conservative, whereas the environmental movement tends to lean the opposite way, and right now everything in digital media is so much more leaning to the left that we need to really embrace them on their blogs on Tree Hugger. I'm actually submitting a response to the Manomet study on there and educating them about they just reprinted a headline they saw in the AP. They didn't bother to read the 189 page report. But yet, their readership, it just reaffirms what they've been told since they were kids. Oh, people are going and cutting down these trees. It's like it's that non-existent stereotype. But that's right. That image we need to change. And engaging them on their own turf is something that we do better, too.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. But also, I think it's a – just like energy is a regional issue in this country, which I think is part of the reason why it's so difficult for Congress – to pass a national energy policy, because energy is so local. I also think forest products issues are very local. If you ask someone in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in Harvard Square, they would say you should not chop down a tree, okay? If you ask someone in Portland, Maine, or Bangor, Maine, whether it's a good thing to cultivate trees, they would say, of course, that's why they're there. They trees have always been a renewable source. Maine has more forested acreage than anywhere else, privately owned forested acreage than anywhere else in the country. It's an important part of our economy, I think that, it's very relevant to rural America, and I think we need to play on that.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts, Bob? I think we're approaching our time.
No, I appreciate your interest, and I think our challenge is going to be getting that message out, because we win on the merits, and it's really up to us to be able to educate people so they understand the benefits of our industry.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, Bob. Again, I'm Ben Peterson, and that was Bob Cleaves of the Biomass Power Association. And if you're listening, get involved in biomass. I mean, this is the only tool we have to actively pull carbon from the atmosphere, and it's a very important power source. It's a way we dispose of waste streams in this country. Get out and support it. Green jobs. Thanks for listening. Bye.